You have your Bible, open with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 11, as well as Genesis chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 11 and Genesis chapter number 6. Hallelujah. Made news in heaven when I got saved. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your blessings and your goodness to us. I pray, Lord, that that this time could be dedicated unto your glory. Lord, may the words spoken help somebody for the glory of God. Help us, Lord, to serve you and to follow you with all our heart. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. In Hebrews chapter 11, I'd like to read in verse number 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. And I have heard so many times, even this week, even today, Brother Merritt and others talking about Jesus is coming again. No doubt, he didn't come yesterday, so today we're closer to the coming of the Lord. He could come tonight. And I know 2,000 years ago, as the Apostle Paul was writing the book of Philippians and writing books in the Word of God, he expected to be alive when Jesus came again. And so we live in the imminent ability of the Lord's return. There's nothing that has to happen. His return is imminent. It can happen at any time. Jesus is coming again. And so we'll come back to Hebrews 11, but with that thought in mind, before we go to Genesis 6, I'd like to read from Luke chapter number 17, verse number 26. The Bible says, "And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat and they drank, they bought and they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all." And no doubt, we know from these truths that these lived in a time that was similar just as we live. Jesus can come today. He could come tonight. He could come tomorrow. But you know, all around us, there are those living as if Jesus is not coming again. Now, if you'll go with me to the book of Genesis, chapter number 6, I would like to read just to bring context for the message tonight. And by the grace of God, the Lord being my helper, I won't preach very long tonight. But Genesis, chapter number 6, we'll start reading in verse number 1. "And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man." May I stop right there and just tell you, if the Lord is dealing with you, especially if he is dealing with you about salvation, he will not always strive with you. There will be a time when he will just accept your no and leave you alone. The Bible says very clearly that God desires to save all people. Amen? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." But the same Bible also says in John 6:44, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw them." Why is that? You see, it's that drawing of God that will show you need him. It's that drawing of God that shows me that I need him. And if people continue to resist the drawing of God, he'll leave them alone. And God forbid, but that they die lost and end up in hell. And so if you're here, or if you're listening over the radio or the internet, if the Lord is dealing with you, as the Bible said in the book of Hebrews, today, if you'll hear his voice, harden not your heart, but listen to him. Obey him. Go to him. Repent and believe the gospel. Amen. And the Lord said, "My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Well, doesn't that sound like today? Amen. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. But notice this. And that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. It sounds very much like the days that we live in, does it not? Verse number 6. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth. And it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping things and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. And may I say, friends, God loves everybody. And as we learn from the word of God this morning, he sent his son to die for everybody. But my friend, God did not send his son to die so that everybody could just live wickedly against God. No, he sent Jesus Christ to save us from sin. Amen. Verse number 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And if we'll go down now, and in verse number 13, and God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, in a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof. With lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. Verse number 18, but with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons, and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing, of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark, to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. Chapter 7, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast shalt thou take to thee by sevens, the male and his female, and of beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female. Of fowls also, you might wonder why the difference in the number there. Those clean beasts, the remaining were for sacrifices. Verse number 3, of fowls also, of the air by sevens, the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. Verse number 5, and Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. And Noah did all. And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. And Noah went in, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him, into the ark because of the waters of the flood. Verse number 10, and it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. If you'll go back with me into the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11, I read all of that to provide context. I don't know who's here tonight, who knows about Noah, who does not know about Noah. I don't know who's listening on the radio, who's listening on live stream. But in verse number 7 of Hebrews chapter 11, by faith Noah, being warned of God. You know, there's several people in the Bible who were warned of God. Joseph, the husband of Mary, the mother of Jesus, he was warned by God. But so was Noah. By faith Noah, being warned of God, of things, notice right here, not seen as yet. Not seen as yet. Moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. I wrote a few little notes here. Do you notice that when God gave Noah this commandment, it had never rained? No man had ever seen water fall from the sky before. Noah looked crazy to everybody, but he had a word from God. Everybody thought he was crazy until it started to rain. Everyone except his family members, seven other people, everyone rejected what he had to say until it started to rain. Everyone laughed at him until it started to rain. Nobody liked him until it started to rain. Nobody listened to him until it started to rain. The thought that is on my heart tonight is, like Noah, will we stand for God? Noah, he stood for God when literally the entire world outside of his family did not. Sometimes your faith may cause you to look crazy until it starts to rain. The first thought that comes to my heart tonight is that Noah had a word from God. My friend, God has given us a Bible. Amen. And this Bible teaches us many things. And God desires for us to believe them all, practice them all, follow them all. Not to pick and choose, not to cut out what we don't like, not to take a portion and design our own way, but to follow him. And the Bible tells us to rightly divide the word of truth. Noah had a word from God. But this word from God, notice what it said. By faith, Noah being warned of God. God warned Noah. Well, my brothers and sisters, God has warned me. God has warned you. And God has warned the whole world. In Korea, when I used to preach about the Bible, I would tell them, I'd say, how many of you ladies like to get a love letter? There's not a lady in here that don't like love letters. It's just built into you by God. And every time a lady gets a love letter, they just it makes them feel good. But God gave us a love letter right here in his word. And he warned us about the judgment of sin. He warned us of the awful things that will come upon the earth. He warned us of how Satan wants to deceive, how the world wants to take you and grab you and destroy you. That is the plan of the devil. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. My brothers and sisters, although Satan paints the picture well, there has never been anyone that has left God and his word and went to the world and prospered. They always return empty. They always return hurt. They always return bitter in heart. Noah was warned by God. So you and I have been warned by God in his word. May we adhere to it. May we adhere to it in our personal life. May we adhere to it in our family, and in our church, and all we do. May I say, Mary and I don't have kids, but I still tell you what the Bible said. Mama and Daddy, God warned you about how to help your kids and how to protect your kids. Oh, I was a rebellious kid, and I fought against everything my daddy stood for. But I'm going to tell you something. There's one reason I'm not in hell today. And it's because my dad did not back down and did not let me walk all over him. He stood for what was right. Amen. Mom and Daddy, you'll stand before God. You'll stand before God. And he's warned. Church, it's our responsibility. It's what God desires of us, to take what he said in his word and that we live it out every day of our life. But in our personal life, what safeguards have we set in our personal life, in our home, in our church, to protect us from the world? Did you not see where the scripture said the thoughts of their heart and imagination was only evil continually? You know what the apostle Paul said? Evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. I seen yesterday, the president of our country made today some special day under the homo agenda. My friend, no, this is the day we celebrate the resurrection of the Son of God. Amen. I disregard what the president did. We should stand with God. Amen.
Amen.
But God, Noah had a word from God. But Noah was warned by God. My friend, God's word is so gracious, but yet he was so direct that he was bringing in a flood and that everybody was going to die. My friend, I want to encourage you tonight, but I want to encourage you in the truth. We need to be happy in Jesus. We need to walk around with a song and a whistle and a shout and be happy in the Lord. But my friend, the days are going to wax worse and worse, and we need to shine brighter and brighter. May I say this? Not only did Noah have a word from God, and not only was Noah warned by God, but Noah worked for God. I heard a preacher one time, I was telling somebody the other day, this preacher was preaching about Adam and Eve, and he was reading the text about, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he took the rib from Adam's side, and the preacher turned the page and said she was so many cubits this away and so many cubits that away, and his pages stuck together in his Bible, amen. And he went from Adam and Eve to the ark. He looked up and said, well, she was a big one, amen. But I just thought I'd throw that out there. But Noah worked for God. Noah worked. Can you imagine? They never seen rain. And for 120 years, Noah's preaching. Storm's coming. Flood's coming. God's going to judge the world. And can you imagine? I wrote right here in my Bible, they mocked him. And they misunderstood him. But you read about Noah, he was moved with fear, a fear of God. And he was a man of God. Noah worked for God. And all that time, he did that work. Oh, he wasn't popular. You don't find the crowds that they went with him. But he did what God told him to. My friend, let me ask you a question. Don't answer me. Answer the Holy Spirit. Are you and I, like Noah, willing to stand for God no matter what? Then may I say this? He just looked weird. He did. You ever seen a rapture before? You ever seen graves busted open and clothes laying everywhere and planes falling out of the sky? Well, just like we've never seen that, folks, never seen it rain before and never seen a flood. And just like the Bible said, in the last days, there will come scoffers. So even then, people scoffed at him. He looked weird. He looked strange. But you know what he did? He humbled himself. He obeyed God. But then I think about this. The biggest question that goes on everybody's mind, what will people think? Now, I'm going to quote old-time preacher. He said, now some of y'all are sitting out there with your halos on, but he said, I can see your horns. I think every one of us in this place are guilty of the thought, well, what will people think? My friend, if I'm going to come to a place in my Christian life that I really walk with the Lord, if you are going to come to a place that you walk with the Lord like Noah did, we're going to have to come to a place where we're more concerned with what God thinks than with what people think. It is impossible. It is impossible to always please God and man. A.W. Tozer said, sometimes to be right with God is to be wrong with man. What will people think? My friend, if what is at the forefront of our thoughts is people before God, then we have our idol there. And it's exposed to us what our problem is. The Bible said in the book of Galatians, if you'll turn there with me, Galatians chapter number 1. And don't get me wrong, of course we should be concerned about our testimony. But Galatians chapter number 1, verse number 10, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. My friend, we should seek by every word written in the Word of God to follow Him. Amen? But then I think about this. I think about Noah, 120 years of building a massive boat and preaching to a bunch of people who hate him. I wonder how many times Noah got weary. Weariness is going to come. One man said the most spiritual thing you can ever do is take a nap. Weariness will come. Not only weariness, but weakness. You know, Noah was a man just like you and I. I'm sure there was time that his blood pressure ran high. I'm sure there was times that his heart hurt. I'm sure there were times that his faith waxed weak. I'm sure there were times that he needed the help of God. But you know what the Bible said? Noah found grace in the sight of the Lord. He was weary at times. He was weak. Oh, can you imagine? He waited his patience 120 years. He had a word from God 120 years before it happened. He served the Lord faithfully. He didn't stop. What if he would have? Well, he would have drowned like the rest of them. Then I think about this, his worry. All the things that he could worry about. As people set out to serve the Lord. Well, what if this? Well, what if that? Well, the Bible says in Hebrews, by faith. Now, what does that mean? Well, verse 1 said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Someone said, well, faith is a step in the dark. No. Or they said it's a leap into the dark. No, my friend, it's a step into the light. You see, our faith is supposed to be in things that the Lord wrote in His Word. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 6, when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. God can't. The Bible said, and by two immutable things, and that which it was impossible for God to lie. God cannot lie. I'm sure that Noah wondered, when is God going to vindicate him? I'm sure that Noah wondered, when is the rain going to come? I'm sure that he wondered, why did God do this to me? Why did God put me in such an impossible situation? I'm pretty sure that it wasn't all roses and daisies for Noah. But Noah had some wisdom about him. You know what he did? He obeyed God. The Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs, there is no wisdom, nor counsel, nor understanding against the Lord. What God's word says is right. I can't tell you how many times I've had a conversation with somebody. And they say, well, what should we do? And I'll say, well, the Bible says this. And they'll say, yeah, but. And then I'll listen to what they said, and then I'll answer. Well, the Bible said this, and they'll say, yeah, but you can't do that with the Word of God. What the Bible says is so. Amen. Then I think about this. Noah, working for God, seeking to glorify the Lord, wickedness prevailed. Let me go back to Genesis chapter 6 and read verse number 5. Genesis chapter number 6, in verse number 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Do you think the pressure came on Noah? Well, maybe we should back down a little bit. Maybe we should stop saying all these things that God said. Maybe if we didn't say all of what God said, maybe more people would want to come get on the boat. Oh, I'm sure it went through his mind because he's a human like you and I. But do you know what the Apostle Paul said in Acts chapter number 20? That he hath not failed to preach all the counsel of God. And that's what we need. If we don't do that, you won't be the Christian that God wants you to be. And I won't be the Christian that God wants me to be. Wickedness prevailed. Can you imagine the discouragement? He's sitting there working for God. In another passage of scripture, the Bible called him a preacher of righteousness. And at the end of 120 years, he had 7 people with him. I'll tell you some things that he didn't have. He didn't have a bunch of books. He didn't have a bunch of support. He didn't have a bunch of camp meetings, but he had the Word of God. That is the most important thing that we need to live by, the Word of God. I'm not against the other things at all, but they don't trump the Word of God. May I say this? The world rejected him. The world rejected him. What did the Son of God say? If they hated me, then they're going to hate you. My friend, we obviously should not seek after somebody to hate us. Nobody in their right mind would do such a thing. But Peter tells us very clearly not to think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you. Oh, we live in a day when people are soft and afraid, and they're not willing and they're getting weak to stand for the Lord. My friend, I'll tell you, I'm weak. And I know you are too, but God was able to use Gideon. And if we'll yield to the Lord, God will be able to use us for his glory. One day we're going to stand before him. What is he going to say? Is it going to be, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Or is everything we've done for his glory going to burn as his discerning eyes try us? May God have mercy. The world rejected him. Why would Noah do this? Why would Noah take so seriously the things of God? 120 years of loneliness, of rejection, of hard work, of labor. I mean, if you divide 120 by 7, what is that? One convert every 15 years? And he was smack dab in the middle of the will of God. Did Noah waste his life? A lot of people would say, well, what a wasted life. No, my friend, I'll tell you, the ones who wasted their life were the ones that didn't listen to him. The ones that perished in the water. The ones that perish today in a place called hell. You're not going to waste your life to follow the Lord. It'll be the best life you could ever have. May I say this? Noah worshiped God. Noah was so real. He was so sincere. that the seven members of his family knew he had heard from God. It was real. My, what a challenge. Are we the type of Christian that when our family members look at us, they say, now that is a real Christian? Whatever Noah was preaching, it must have been powerful, but it was so powerful, his family knew it was real. The others didn't believe it. His family hadn't seen rainfall, and the Bible doesn't make any word about God speaking to those seven members of his family. Perhaps it was the fact that they knew that that man had heard from God. Notice what the scripture said. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. Could it be that his life changed? Could it be they could see it in his eyes? Could it be that they saw the devotion of his life? He was a worshiper of God. He won his family to the Lord. But Noah, he loved people. He warned people. The Bible called him a preacher of righteousness. A preacher of righteousness. As we wrap up the message for tonight, three more thoughts on my heart, four more. One day the water fell. It started to rain. And all those people who thought he was crazy, everyone who rejected him, you know who they wanted to go to? Noah. But the door was shut on the ark. It was too late. May God help us to serve him as Noah did. But may I say a message to those who God is dealing with in whatever way. Don't resist the Lord. Listen to him. Yield to him. Give him everything you have. You'll never regret it. Sadly, the wicked perished. They perished. May that burden our heart. Today we sit here. I'm trusting the majority of the people here are saved. Somebody died and went to hell today. Somebody from Greenville will die and go to hell tomorrow. And the next day. And the next day. Their blood's on our hands. God help us to reach them with the gospel. Second to the last is a question for me and you. Will we stand for the Lord like Noah did? Noah found something to be true with God. He found that God's word shall stand. Look with me in Isaiah chapter 46. Isaiah chapter 46. And verse number 10. 120 years before the water fell, God told Noah. 120 years. Verse number 10. This is God talking. Well, we'll read verse 9 as well. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. My brother, my sister, my friend, it would be the Lord's pleasure to work in your heart and life. Will you let him? Let's stand together. We have communion tonight. The altar is open. If you would like to just come linger with the Lord and make sure that your heart is right. The Lord's Supper is a special time. If the Lord's spoken to your heart about something else, the altar's open. Let's pray. Lord, search hearts. May the will of the Lord be done. And may you be glorified. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
I gave my life for thee, my prayer. precious blood I shed, that thou mightst ransom me and quicken from the dead. I gave my life for thee. What hast thou given for me? I gave my life for thee. What hast thou given for me? My Father's house of light, my glory's circle throne, I left for earthly might, for wandering sad and lone. I left it all for thee. Hast thou left aught for me? I suffered much for thee, more than
thy tongue can tell. I'd like to ask our deacons to go ahead and come to the front rows.
Of bitterest agony to rescue thee from hell. I bore it all for thee. What hast thou borne for me? I bore it all for thee. What hast thou borne for me?
Amen. Well, we'll have prayer and then we'll go into the time of the Lord's Supper. Lord, we love you and thank you for the services today and all your blessings. Lord, we love you so much. And I ask you, God, forgive our sins, cleanse our unrighteousnesses. Help us to live for you with all of our heart and with every fiber of our being. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.